Welcome to Dads with Daughters. In this show, we spotlight dads, resources, and more to help you be the best dad you can be.
Welcome back to the Dads with Daughters podcast, where we bring you guests to be active participants in your daughters' lives, raising them to be strong, independent women. Really excited to have you back again this week. As always, every week, you and I are on a journey together. You know, I've got two daughters, you've got daughters. We're on this fatherhood journey together, and we're doing the things that we can do to be able to be the best dads that we want to be. And that comes with work, that comes with some hard work, that comes through the days, the weeks, the months, the years that you go side by side with your children to be able to help them to be the people that you're hoping that they become. And you don't have to do this alone. I've said that numerous times, and I will continue to say it. There are so many other dads out there that are going through the same journey, and they struggle with very similar things. And they go about fatherhood in different ways. And that's why it's so important that we have these conversations, that we sit down, we talk about it, we build a community for you to be able to meet other dads, learn from them, because there's no one right way to father. There's many different ways that people do father, and you learn along the way. You learn as things change in your life, in your kid's life. And you can learn from the dads around you, but you can also learn from dads through things like this. And that's why every week I love being able to talk with you, sit down with you, and bring you different guests with different perspectives, different experiences that can help you to think about fatherhood in a little bit different way. This week, we've got another great guest with us, Joe Martin. Is the owner of Relentless Positivity Fitness. He teaches in person as well as online classes. He's won several awards, including Huntsville's Healthiest Trainer, Huntsville's Healthiest Male. Relentless Positivity Fitness was just recently voted the best place in Huntsville to work out, and his book, Relentless Positivity, hit the Amazon's bestseller list. Now, we're going to learn a little bit more about that, but he has a long journey of being an athlete, and working in fitness, and found also at one point he was about 50 pounds overweight. And I think all of us at one point in life can probably look at that and look at ourselves and say, are we where we want to be? And how is that impacting us as men? But also, how is that impacting us as fathers? And it becomes a turning point for yourself. And it was a turning point for Joe too. So I'm really excited to be able to learn from him today, learn from him as a father. He's a father of a son who is just about to go off to the Air Force Academy, and he's going to grow. He's going to fly off the nest here to go and do and go into the next phase of his life. So he is going through what I told you I was going through last year. So I'm really excited to talk to him, to learn from him, and to share him with you. Joe, thanks so much for being here today.
Oh, man, I'm really excited to be here. We talked a little bit before we started that there's no instruction manual when it comes to being a dad. So what you're doing is so important. Building strong dads out there that can build strong daughters is so important. And kind of, you know, that old Frederick Douglass quote talking about it, it's much easier to build strong children than it is to fix or repair a broken man or a woman. I'm in the fitness world, so I've been training women exclusively for 15 years. And a lot of the stuff they're dealing with as adults goes back to childhood. So what you're doing right now, helping people cut that off before it ever happens, man, is so important. So I appreciate what you're doing out there.
So now I usually start with some conversations to talk about what it was like to be a father of a daughter. You don't have that experience, but you do have you were a father of a son. So let's go back a little bit and let's talk a little bit about that journey that you've been on and what you've had to learn along the way. So let's turn the clock back. Your son is a senior in high school. And as you think back to that first moment, the first moment when you found out that you were going to be a father, what was going through your head?
Man, all the emotions, all of them. You think, oh my gosh, I'm not ready. I'm excited. I need to make more money. I need to be less busy. All these things are going through your head. You don't know what to expect. You know, anytime you're doing something new, all the fear comes in. Also a lot of excitement, man. I was really excited about being a dad. I had amazing parents growing up. So I got modeled that growing up. I was excited to give it a shot. And I was the first in my family to have a kid, man. So it's really exciting. You know, I've got two brothers and one older, one younger. So I was kind of the first one. So no one couldn't ask my brothers about it. So, you know, but I've got a lot of people around me that really helped me out. But mainly it was just the overwhelming thing with excitement and gratitude, just to be able to have this chance to be a dad.
Now, fatherhood is never always roses. It's not always easy. You go through peaks and valleys as you go along. Talk to me about what you had to go through as a father to be able to be the father that you wanted to be as you went through those peaks and valleys?
I think a lot of it, you've had a previous guest on here talking about watching your kids fail, how it's so hard to do, but man, it's so important. Even watching them hurt themselves. You know, when you tell them over and over, don't do that. Well, words mean one thing, actions mean another. You know, when they go, and I tried to tell you, and then you touch the burning stove or whatever that version of that for your kid is. But that was one I'm just watching them fail. Man, it's so tough. You want to put them in this, you know, bubble wrap and send them out in the world and don't get hurt, don't have to any challenges. But that's not the way the world works, right? And that's not how you grow and it's not how you change. That was a tough lesson to learn. Also with sports, like you mentioned, I was an athlete growing up. My son, sport's important to him. He's going to go play basketball at the Air Force Academy. It's a huge opportunity. But just looking back on his journey, when he first started getting a sport, he's telling me, oh, how good I was back in the day. Nobody cares about that, right? You know, you share about how good you were. That doesn't mean anything to these kids. Tell them your struggles. Tell them that, hey, man, I had this coach that told me I would never play a down on varsity ever. Tell them I was scared to death to go out of my first varsity game. I thought I was going to throw up. You know, all these things. That share your struggles. That's where they lean in and connect. And they say, oh, okay, well, I struggle. I'm not very good at this yet. I just started playing this. I don't want to hear about how good you are. I'm terrible at this. I want to hear that there's a chance that you struggled and you became better. I think as dads, you kind of want to, back in the day, talk about how good you are and how you could throw that football over a mountain back in your day. But if you can share your struggles, I think that was a big lesson that I learned personally, that, you know, they're going to connect with that much more than they are. You talk about how good you are at stuff. And then just, hey, teaching them that your wife, their mother, is the most important thing in their world. And you do that by you modeling. I'll tell you this, what I had one of my mentors tell me one time, that put your wife on a pedestal and see what child you raise. Put your wife down all the time and see what kind of a person he becomes. Because you can talk, like I said, we talked about earlier, all these words are very important, but they can want to watch what you do with your actions. So if you put your wife up on a pedestal and show she how important she is, how she's loved and all these things, and you continue to date your wife and love your wife, show what love, a true relationship looks like, that's what they're going to do. But if you go the other way, it's probably what they're going to do as well.
So talk to me about the hardest part that you have found in being a dad to a son and just being a father in general. What's been the hardest part for you?
I think the hardest part for me is coming up when he leaves. And he goes, he's the only child, man. This is my wife and I's only child. We've been tight since day one. And just, you know, that daily routine and just checking in and doing all these things. And our life pretty much revolves around what he does, his activities, hanging out with him, seeing him and his girlfriend, what they're doing, going to church together, all these things. I mean, like 3/4 of our days revolves around, what's he doing? You know, man, what's he doing? What are we doing together? What's for dinner? That's a big one around here because he's a big kid, man. So he's always eating. That's going to be tough. That's our, like I said, our daily routines, his basketball games, his school, dude, his laundry. I'm not going to lie. I'm ready for that one to go away. But there's a lot of things. I think that one's coming up. He's been a pretty awesome kid growing up. Probably just ones I've shared before have been the biggest struggle, just watching him fail along the way and watching him hurt, have his heart broken, you know, when his first girlfriend breaks up and those type of things are so hard to go through. But I imagine this one coming up is going to be big. When you're going through it right now, let me ask you, how's that going for you so far?
You know, it is different. We have two kids, so we still have one at home, but they both daughters are very different from one another. So my oldest was uber involved in everything. So just like your son, we got involved in all the things that she did. Whereas my younger daughter is not involved as much and is involved in very few things that she gets involved in. And because of that, she is just a very different kid. And so there is a sense of loss when you, as parents, when you start missing out on the things that your kids used to do that you spent a lot of time doing. You have to get over it and you have to keep going. And just because they're not there and not doing those things doesn't mean you can't go to the basketball games or to the, you know, if they were involved in marching band, go to the marching band competitions or other things like that. But it's just different. And you have to then adjust and you have to look at the new normal. And I know it's going to be very different when our youngest goes off to college and then we are empty nesters per se. And you're only seeing them when they come home for breaks or in between terms. I mean, your kid's going to be going far away from home. My kid went about 11 hours away from home. So we try to stay in contact through things like FaceTime or through weekly check-ins, daily check-ins. But we let her tell us what the schedule needs to be and try not to push our agenda of wanting to talk to her. And I'm sure that pretty much every parent has to have that kind of a conversation and has to be willing to let go and step back and be willing to let their kid fly a bit and then let them dictate how much or how little that they do communicate. I found that I was over communicating a little bit. And my wife came to me and said, our daughter has said that you're sending too many things. And I said, that wasn't my intent. I was just responding to what she was sending me. Well, she was responding to me because I was sending her something, but I was sending too much. So I said, okay, I will step back. I won't say anything. And I will let her take the lead. And it's hard to do, but you have to do it.
For sure. Yeah, that's what we're looking at. And then who are my wife and I when we don't have kids again? We have to kind of rekindle that and figure out what we look like together as a couple without the kids. So that's going to be another of those. First, when you go to Air Force Academy, you got 6 weeks of boot camp, zero communications. So that's going to be something to super struggle with right there. And then he's going to be super busy. But that's how it works. That's how it's supposed to work. Talked about flying out of the nest. That's how it's supposed to work, right? You graduate high school, you're supposed to go be your own person. And this probably be the best way. Just rip the Band-Aid. Let's get it going.
That definitely is ripping off the Band-Aid when they fly away and they go for the first time that far away. We had those conversations about you're not going to be able to come home. You're not going to be able to constantly be able to just leave for a weekend and take a trip back because of the expense and the amount of time. And we may see you once or twice in a term. And that becomes the reality when your child does go far away. But that happens even after they graduate from college or they go into the workforce and they move away if they're not going to be close to home. And then you have to deal with that too. And you're right, though. You do have to come to that new reality with your partner in life to be able to figure out who you are again. And hopefully along the time, along the years that you have been together, that you have built a strong foundation so that when all that time and all that effort that you have put into raising your child goes away, and I say go away, it still's there because you're always going to be a parent, but it's different. And the house is much quieter and you're going to have to come up with that new normal so that you still connect and that you then have other things to connect on outside of all of the effort and time and passion that you put into raising your child.
I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of excited to see what it looks like. My wife jokes around that she's just going to adopt another basketball player. We'll do it all over again. And I've nixed that idea, but she might be serious. I'm not sure.
There's been some families that I know that after their child graduates or leaves, they may have exchange students or they may do something else to fill that void to be able to, or they get involved in mentoring, or they get involved in coaching, or they get involved in something else that still connects them with youth in different ways because of the void that they feel internally.
Yeah, I get that. I've been working with kids for a while. I still end up mainly middle school ages, 10 to 14 year olds. That's been kind of that's an age. It's so crucial and it's a tough age. So I like to work with that age group. I imagine I'll put more resources into that. But we did have an opportunity to host a foreign exchange student from Croatia. I'm not sure if we're going to do it or not, but he's a basketball player. So my wife's pretty excited about that. So I don't know. We'll see what that looks like. But you're right, man. It's going to be something you can put your energies into. I'm excited about that as well. Just kind of freeing up that space to make a difference.
Now, I know you said you work with a lot of that middle school age population, but you also have done a lot with mentoring and in trying to build those strong relationships with not only the kids that you're mentoring, but your own son as well. And I know you've done things to be able to better understand what mentoring is or should be. So talk to me about mentoring and the importance of mentoring in kids and what you found that you've had to do to be that positive mentor for youth that you work with.
Yeah, we also talked a little bit before we got on about how we're kind of experts in our field, but our kids don't care. You know, she was talking to your daughter about getting college admission. People pay you really good money to do that. People pay really good money to me to do fitness. Our kids do not care. So you kind of need that trusted resource outside of the home that can help, like a coach or something like that. That's kind of where I got a coaching background. I coach fitness. I coach football. That's where my background came from. So some steps you could do if you're looking to connect with your kid, or maybe it's you're an uncle or something like that. You want to help out one of your friend's daughters or something like that. You're an aunt, something like that you want to help out. First of all, you got to make a connection somehow. These kids have to know that you care about them. You have your best interest in mind. And I just say, if they like it, I love it. You know, I got kids that they want to talk about Minecraft. Not my favorite subject. I don't know if you're familiar with Minecraft, but if they like it, I love it. So I'm going to find out what is about it. I'm going to, hey, what are you doing with that pickaxe? And they're like, what do you know about pickaxes? I'm like, well, what I Googled, that's what I know about it. But you know, just kind of finding that common ground that we can work from there. A lot of the kids I work with, they like my dog. we can just talk about my dog. Because I don't know if you've seen that with your kids, that it's easier to get them to talk when you're doing an activity rather than sit down and just face to face. We're talking like we are right now. My son, it was either we'll be in the car and we'd be driving, so it's not the awkward like staring at each other, or we go throw the football or shoot baskets or do something else other than just sit there face to face and have these conversations. We've had some of those, some important ones. You got to sit down and do that. But to kind of get them to talk to you sometimes, it's easier if you're doing an activity. So we kind of take it, the approach, like for me, it's fitness mentoring is what I look at it. The kids kind of come in and think, oh, I'm going to exercise and get in a little bit better shape and do some things like this. So it's not like most kids are, hey, I want to go get mentored. They don't really know what that means, but they've known, I want to go in there and do some fun exercise, move around a little bit. Because the first thing you do is got to make that connection. If you're a parent, you probably have that connection with your kid. But if you're mentoring another kid, you probably need to find some kind of way. I recommend look and find out what they're most into, and you get into it as well. And we start there. And then far as what we actually do together, far as goal setting and things like that, I'll talk to the parents, I'll talk to the kids, and we'll figure out a realistic goal that they can do. And some of them just want to move around a little bit, just feel better. A lot of kids I work with, they're not athletes. They're more on the computer game side. They're ready to play a video game or read a book or something like that. They're more artistic and things like that. That the physical realm is not really something they're familiar with. I mean, just getting them moving a little bit is so big, just far as mentally, physically, emotionally, all these different things. Because, and a lot of them are have to do with bullying. So if we can just get talking about that, and that's a big thing. Especially at that age group, it's middle school, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth grade, around there. Like I said, I've been working with kids about 15 years, and social media changed the game. And then COVID changed it even more. Even the past 3 years, I've seen a huge difference in how the kids are in the past few years. A lot of it gets back to the parents. Some of them kind of checked out during the pandemic. They're dealing with so much other stuff. They kind of checked out, and the kids are kind of left to do their own thing. And just getting back in, making a physical connection, these kids, a lot of them don't have in-person friends like we used to growing up, that we didn't have choice. You know, there's the kids in your neighborhood and things like that. There's kids all around my neighborhood. I rarely see them outside. I live right next to a park. And unless there's organized sports, there's not many kids that just go out and play and do physical activities. Just kind of getting to reconnect with that and just get kids moving. It doesn't matter what kind of movement. We're not doing some kind of serious fitness program or something like that. If we can just teach kids some general movement patterns, and we got one because I got hardwood floors in my gym. One kid, he likes to take his shoes off. I have TRX. He likes to slide on his socks on the hardwood floors. And we have set up these foam rollers. So it's like this Angry Birds game where he knocks over the foam rollers like he's bowling himself. So it's great movement. He's moving. He's moving his body. So finding the connection and getting him moving, just those two things right there can make a huge difference for these kids.
So you've been doing fitness for a long time. And you, as I said at the very beginning, you have a business called Relentless Positivity Fitness. And you also have a podcast called Relentless Positivity Podcast. And you know, you're doing a lot of different things to engage people in different ways, kids, but also adults, to be able to push them to find fitness in their lives. What drew you into fitness, and why did you decide that this was your calling and your passion?
I was an athlete all growing up, all through high school. And then I played football as my main sport. Started off as a tight end. If you're familiar with football, that guy blocks a little bit. He catches a little bit. I cannot catch very well, and I gained a lot of weight. So I became a lineman. So if you're familiar with linemen, there's like big guys that run into other big guys. So I was playing football. I was about 250, 260 pounds. And I got hurt. I was going to go play in college, but I got hurt. So I put my whole life into football. That was all I cared about in high school. I just knew I was going all the way, right? I was one of those kids that was kind of my identity. You know, when you're in high school, you kind of find your niche, and that's who you are. I'm in the band. I play sports. So I do this. Whatever it is, you kind of put yourself in this box, and that's who you are. So without that, I kind of felt lost, you know, getting arrested. And I went to jail, and then just all these things started spiraling out of control. I got to the point where I was suicidal. That's why I'm so passionate about working with these kids, because I've been there too. So I kind of got to the point in my life that I got to do something. And I started with losing weight, because every time I looked in the mirror, it was just a reminder that I don't look good. I don't feel good. And I'm not the person I want to be. So I started with one little thing. I started reading food labels. They'll label full. They'll tell you what's in there, how many calories and all these things, and what you're putting into your body. So I started there and started losing weight. Like I said, I lost 50 pounds. I felt great. It's like, man, I would love to help other people have the same feeling. So that's where I went from there. Just that's how I got into the fitness world. I've been on the other side where every day, you know, your body hurts and you don't feel good. And this is not who I want to be. Not that your weight defines who you are or anything like that, but it can be a reminder that, man, I just don't feel good.
You definitely can feel that way, especially as you get older, and the lack of movement, the lack of intentional movement, I'll say, can definitely impact you and lead to other health implications in the future. Now, as fathers, I think you said at the beginning, you know, we need to model not only the relationships that we want our kids to have, but we also need to model the lifestyle that we want our kids to see. And if we are out and we're active and we're actively engaging with them and we're playing shooting baskets or we're out doing walks or running or at the gym or whatever it might be, our kids are going to see that. Now, they may not follow, as you said, you've been doing fitness and your kid doesn't like to listen to you. I get that. But at the same time, though they don't say that they are listening or they're seeing, and it does impact in many different ways. So for a father that is hearing your journey and thinking to themselves, I need to take that next step because I'm hurting. I can't keep up with my kids. I am having a hard time just day to day, and I need to do something to start moving the needle. What are some things that they can do to start that? Maybe not even going to a gym, but just starting something to be able to start seeing some gains in some aspects.
I think the biggest mistake people make, and you'll see it in January, but when the gym is absolutely packed the first 2 weeks of January, and then by week 3, 4, it starts to look like a ghost town. You know, they say by 90 days into the new year, 90% of the people that started working out, they're done. It's over. They've given up. So people come in and want to do, I'm going to exercise for 2 hours every day. I'm going to eat broccoli and chicken every, this is my year. And it's not sustainable. I suggest you start with something so small that it seems like nothing. That you have on a scale of 1 to 10, you're about a 9 or 10. I could definitely do that. Maybe it's a 5-minute walk. I don't know where you are in your journey right now. Maybe you need to take a 5-minute walk, walk around the block. Maybe you do a couple squats. Maybe you go and ride your bike. Something so small, maybe you just need to drink a little more water. And then you start adding these on. So if you can just do one thing, do it consistently, and then you layer things on. If it's 5 minutes this week, maybe you do 7 minutes next week around the block. Go a little bit further. Because what you'll find usually if you start with that 5 minutes, oh, well, I can do 10 today. But the whole thing, you know, as humans, we're built to conserve energy, right? That's just what kind of through evolution, that's what got us here. So naturally, we are quote unquote lazy. That's just your body trying to save you from doing, we're not supposed to be out there running marathons, right? So if you can do that, if you can just talk yourself into that 5 minutes, usually a lot more will actually happen. But if not, at least you got that 5 minutes in. You're getting consistent with it. Because don't be the person that goes in and they just have an amazing 1 week in January and then the other 51 weeks, they do nothing. I'd much rather you come in slow. Number one, you're not going to hurt yourself like a lot of people do. And it's going to be sustainable. And you're going to go slowly add these on where it's not overwhelming and it's sustainable. You want a plan that's sustainable that you actually enjoy. If you can find a way to move your body that you like, not what someone told you is the best way to burn fat or build muscle or all this. What do you like to do? I remember years ago at my church, there was this guy, 80-year-old man. He kind of came up to me. He's like, oh, ask me these fitness questions. He said, well, this is kind of embarrassing, but I like to do hip hop abs. He had a VCR tape. Sean T, this guy did hip hop abs. The guy is probably not the target market for this video, but he did it all the time and he did great. So it's like, that's not embarrassing, man. That's awesome. I wish I was in my 80s doing a hip hop ab routine. That's very cool. So it's just finding a way you enjoy moving your body and doing it on a consistent basis. And you'd be amazed at what other habits start coming in. Because you start exercising a little more, well, maybe I'll start eating a little bit better because maybe I can, you know, do a little bit better in my class that I'm taking, or I can go a little bit further and I should probably drink a little more water now that I'm exercising more. And maybe cut down on my drinking a little bit, and all these things start kind of layering in. But if you try to do them all at once, they all tend to just fall off.
Definitely. I've seen that as well. And you're completely right. You get into that mode of the New Year's resolutions and you say, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And a lot of times the bar is set so high, it's really hard to maintain. And so then at the end, you end up failing. And that says something to your kids too. And they see that. And I think you're completely right when you say that you start small and start something just to start something and then work up from there. Doesn't mean you have to be ready for an ultra marathon a month into working out. You're not going to be there. And that's okay. You just have to take the time to prepare and to move toward the goals that you want to set. And then go from there as well.
And I think it's very important to let your kids see you struggle with exercise. If it's tough, you don't hide that from your kids. Let them see, because they're going to be there one day, whether it's an injury, or maybe they'll let themselves get out of shape, or maybe they don't exercise at all now, but they see you doing that. I love to see people who look like they haven't exercised in a while, but they're out there doing it. That's the people that people try to make fun of and things like that. I love to see people out there. Those are the people that haven't given up. And I think that says much more to your kids than someone who's always stayed in shape and things like that. It's so hard to start, just whatever it is. It's so hard to get going. If you can just get started, that's usually the hardest part. So letting your kids see that it's okay to struggle, they'll put that, maybe they're not fitness or something like that. Maybe it's school or relationships or things like that. Seeing you struggle and not give up is so important. Like you talked about modeling. That's a huge thing right there.
It definitely is. Now, I know I mentioned the fact that you also have a podcast and a book. Talk to me about those. And what are people going to find if they, you know, listen in to your Relentless Positivity podcast or they pick up the book itself? What's your hope that when someone listens or when they read, what are they going to take out of those?
With the podcast, I started that during the pandemic. I think a lot of people found a little, they had a little extra time on their hands. I wrote the book during the pandemic as well. It's just all I saw in the news was negativity. And that's what was kind of was just everywhere, whether you're reading or watching the news or anything like that. I just want to counterbalance that with having people on there that are like yourself, they're doing amazing things out in the world that maybe people don't, they haven't heard about it, that need to be highlighted, or stories or people out there that are changing the world in their neighborhood, those unsung heroes. I love to highlight them, and just fun stories and maybe some dad jokes in there. You know, those are very important to share. Things like that, they weren't getting shared. So that's why I started that. And that's just what we're doing. And then with the book, I just wanted to have, it's kind of more, I call it infotainment, right? So I share stories from my life that kind of have some lessons about how you can lose weight and get in shape and have less back pain and things like that. That they're not about, here's exactly what to do and why you're an idiot if you don't do it this way. There's options, there's ways to do it. There's strategies and things like that, and some inspiration, all those things that I think there's a lot of negativity in the fitness world that people, if you don't do it this way, then there's no other way to do it. So it's kind of what, giving people options, giving them inspiration and doing it in a positive manner, because it's going to get tough. You know, how do you handle the rough times when they come in, whether it's, you know, life or your fitness or things like that? How do you handle the tough times? That's what's going to define who you are and what you succeed in life about. So I just want to kind of help people out with that. And just, I just trying to fill needs that I thought were not being filled. So that's kind of what I start with the book as well as the podcast.
Well, we always finish our interviews with what I like to call our Fatherhood Five, where I ask you five more questions to delve deeper into you as a dad. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
In one word, what is fatherhood?
Strength.
When's the time that you finally felt like you succeeded at being a father?
I think when my son did his commitment to the Air Force Academy to play basketball. Man, that was just a culmination of all these years of watching him struggle and become who he is as a man. It's just, that was a great moment.
Now, if I was to talk to your son, how would he describe you as a dad?
Goofy, yet serious about discipline.
Who inspires you to be a better dad?
That's my dad. I watched it growing up, got to see it firsthand. Best dad ever.
Now, you've given a lot of pieces of advice today as we finish up. What's one piece of advice you'd want to give to every dad?
Don't give up on him. You know, I want to look back on my life when I, like I said, I was in jail, been on probation, all these different things. My life did not look that great. Don't give up on those kids. Just a snapshot of my life. It looked like I was going nowhere. You know, I had no future, nothing going on. Wasn't very good at school. Literally did not know how to spell the word business. Spelled it wrong until I got to college. It didn't look good, but my parents never gave up on me, and I've turned it around. And your kids can too.
Well, Joe, I really appreciate you being here today. If people want to find out more about you and what you're doing, where's the best place for them to go?
You can go to my website, fitandpositive.com. You can look, it's got the link for the podcast, got the book on there, the mentoring program. If you want to know, if you just want to talk about how you can help your kids, you know, with the mentoring or anything like that, you can reach out. It's got my contact information on there. Before I go, if you're listening right now, you need to stop and give this man a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you're listening for. We need more strong dads out there raising strong daughters. And he's doing the world a good service out here. Give him a 5-star review. He deserved it. You know, you've listened to him before. He deserves your 5-star. So you do that right now.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, Joe. And I truly do appreciate all that you're doing to be able to inspire kids around you, inspire your own son as he prepares for the future. And I wish you all the best.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me on. This is great. Keep up the great work. I'd love to have you on my podcast as well.
If you've enjoyed today's episode of the Dads with Daughters podcast, we invite you to check out the Fatherhood Insider. The Fatherhood Insider is the essential resource for any dad that wants to be the best dad that he can be. We know that no child comes with an instruction manual, and most dads are figuring it out as they go along. And the Fatherhood Insider is full of resources and information that will up your game on fatherhood. Through our extensive course library, interactive forum, step-by-step roadmaps, and more, you will engage and learn with experts, but more importantly, dads like you. So check it out at fatheringtogether.org. If you are a father of a daughter and have not yet joined the Dads with Daughters Facebook community, there's a link in the notes today. Dads with Daughters is a program of Fathering Together. We look forward to having you back for another great guest next week, all geared to helping you raise strong, empowered daughters and be the best dad that you can be.
We're all in the same boat. and is full of tiny screaming passengers. We spend the time, we give the lessons, we make the meals, we buy them presents. Bring your A game, 'cause those kids are growing fast. The time goes by just like a dynamite blast. Calling astronauts and firemen, carpenters and muscle men, get out and be the world to them. Be the best dad you can be. Be the best dad you can be.